Pay every single service, and I believe God is going to honor that. Hallelujah. If you're expecting something great from God tonight on this last night of the 10th meeting, praise God. Lift your voice and begin to praise God in advance. In advance. Hallelujah. In advance. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just want to say thank you, and I'm how honored I am, my family, we are, to have come back to Uncasville, Montville. I think this is Montville proper, to be with you in revival services. Praise God. This church has literally seen my family grow. Yes. And my kids grow up, probably not my youngest. I think this is the first time he's been here. But so thankful for the Lord and him connecting kingdom connections, praise God, and for the body of Christ and for revival. Amen. So thank you for your generosity, those that gave not just in the speaker's offering, but to this church body, praise God. Amen. Every dollar that is given cheerfully, God will bless.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I know the pastor mentioned about sometimes we can give maybe it seems like a little to some, but one thing I know about God, when he views your giving, equal giving to God means equal sacrifice.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. Equal giving to God means equal sacrifice, just like you saw this widow woman when she was, when they, people were giving into the donation and collection. The Bible says that this little woman had only two mites, which is probably equivalent to our two pennies, because she was so poor. And the Bible says that this woman had given more than the rich people that gave a bunch of money and probably wouldn't even miss it, what they gave into the collection. But this woman had given all that she had.
Right. Amen.
And so Jesus said that she gave more, even though if you counted it up, it seemed like more as far as what other people would give,
right,
because of what it cost her.
Amen.
Amen. And what it meant to her, she was willing to give that, and God blesses sacrifice.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Equal giving to God means equal sacrifice. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're turning in the Bibles to Psalms chapter 107. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are here tonight and you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the first time this week, I want you to lift your hands. Amen. Praise God. Sister Loretta. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know there were more that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They may not be here tonight, but so thankful for what God is doing, hallelujah,
amen,
in this service and in the services that we've been in. And I believe that God has no problem one-upping himself, if you will.
Right.
You know, he never runs out of blessings and breakthroughs, and he never runs out of his presence to give. Amen. We're reading from Psalm 107, verse 15. Amen. If you don't have it, I'll go ahead and read it in your hearing. Scripture says, "Oh, that man would praise the Lord." Everybody say, "For his goodness."
For his goodness.
Meaning there's a reason why we are praising God.
Yes.
We're not just making noise, but we are praising God because he is good. Amen. We're not just praising God because of what he's done.
Right.
We're praising God because of who he is. Everybody say, God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
And all the time, God is good. Hallelujah. For his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder.
Amen.
Listen to this part. Fools, because of their sin or their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. So sometimes people are reaping the consequences of their own actions or decisions. The Bible says their soul abhorreth or hateth all manner of meat, meaning they are so afflicted they don't even want to eat. They draw near unto the gates of death. They feel like they don't even want to live anymore because of what they're going through. And some of these things is not just happenstance. It may be a product of their own decisions. But the Bible says that even those people, not just the people who have bad things happen when they are doing good, but even people that have bad things happen in their life because of their own decisions, because of their own mistakes, the Bible says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, yes, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Hallelujah. And this is how God saves them. Verse 20 says, he sent his word. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And it repeats a verse that it stated already in the chapter to close out that idea. It is saying, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah. How many are thankful that God is not just the God of the righteous, but he is also the God over those that are unrighteous. Hallelujah. He causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Hallelujah. He loves the saint and the sinner just the same. Hallelujah. And he loves the sinner so much that he does not want them to stay in their sin. Hallelujah. That's how much God loves us. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and ask God to do it again. Praise God. Thank you for healing us. Thank me, Lord God. Thank you for filling people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for people being baptized in Jesus' name. And we ask you, Lord God, do it again. Hallelujah. One more time tonight, and we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor. It's not for our self-aggrandizement. It's not just so that we can boast about what you can do because of what we have done. But we are praising you, and we are thanking you because you are the God that can do anything for anyone, anywhere, at any time. Hallelujah. And we give you the praise tonight, and we lift your name tonight, and we glorify you. Hallelujah. Come on, church, help me glorify. Hallelujah. You may be seated today. Amen. This scripture is very pivotal as it begins to describe what God will do when people turn to him. Amen. As I stated many times already this week, that God will not impose his blessings in our lives. We have to come to him. We have to want him to intervene in our world and do what only God can do in us. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that we ought to give God the praise. Hallelujah. It said, oh, that men would praise the Lord. And when they said men, it's not just talking about the male gender. It's talking about mankind. Hallelujah. If every human being will get it into their spirits that I have a right to give God the praise, not just because of what he's done, but because of who he is. He deserves it. Hallelujah. He's God Almighty, and he's God all by himself. Hallelujah. There is none beside him. There is none above him. Hallelujah. There is none before him. He is God Almighty and God all by himself. And so I'll give him the praise when I feel like it. I'll give him the praise when I don't. I'll give him the praise when I'm doing good. I'll give him the praise when I'm doing bad. I'll give him the praise when I got energy. I'll give him the praise when I feel tired. I'll give him the praise when everything's going my way. And I'll give him the praise when all things are coming against me. I'll give him the praise because he is still the same. My situation may change, but God is still the same.
Yeah.
Everybody Everybody say yesterday.
Yesterday.
Everybody say today.
Today.
Everybody say forever.
Forever.
Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And we praise him because of it. Hallelujah. For his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah. It goes on to describe what God has done in the nation of Israel's past. And also goes on to describe what God will do, not just for people that have it all together, but God will even go as far as to make his way to help those that have not helped themselves. Hallelujah. The Bible says people that have not made smart decisions in their lives, hallelujah, they cry out unto the Lord, and the Lord will save them out of their distresses. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that even though I may make dumb mistakes in my life, I serve a God, hallelujah, that will never leave me nor forsake me. Hallelujah. But when I call on him, he will turn to me and he will come to my rescue.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, he will.
The Bible says, this is how he does it.
Yes.
There's a way that God likes to save people.
That's right.
Anybody want to be saved?
Oh, yes.
Anybody want to be saved by God?
Oh, yes.
Well, there's a way that God, in his word, says he likes to do it.
Right.
The Bible says in the next verse, after he tells us this, that God will save fools out of their distresses, he says, he sends his word.
Right.
He sends his word, and his word begins to do something.
Yes, it does.
For them.
Right. Hallelujah.
The word of God, the Bible says, begins to yield them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In the Bible, we went through this scripture a little bit. I believe one of the nights that we went into the word of the Lord. And the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that when God created man from the dust of the ground, and the pastor really said it so profoundly, he made man from the adamah, or the red dirt, hallelujah, of the ground, and called that man Adam after what he was born from, hallelujah. And the Bible said as he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that formed body became a living soul when God breathed on it. Praise the Lord. But the Bible also said that God created a garden east in Eden. And the Bible is very specific as it begins to describe this garden, that there were rivers that went out of it to water this garden. And I want you to notice that in the scriptures, it associates this garden with Eden, but it never said that the name of that garden was Eden. It was the Garden of Eden. Eden was a place of paradise. That's what the word Eden means, pleasure or paradise. And God planted a garden eastward in that place of pleasure. And the Bible says that he caused every tree and herb, fruit to begin to, herb plant to grow in that garden that he would be able to give to Adam for food. And he commanded Adam and said, of every tree in this garden, you may freely eat. Everybody say, God spoke to Adam.
God spoke to Adam.
Everybody say, God gave Adam a word.
God gave Adam a word.
He said, of every tree in this garden, you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you may not eat, for in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Praise God. And God gave him specific instructions on how to survive in a place of pleasure. Hallelujah. In a place that was fruitful. In a place that was a garden that would feed him and nourish him. But the Bible says God looked at him and said, it is not good for you to be alone. And so he put Adam to sleep and took from Adam's side a rib and formed a woman for the man, praise God, as a companionship, as a help meet for him. This was someone that would be able to help this man. And I don't know, many of you are men in here, you may not all be married, but can I tell you, some of us may need help.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
And God knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
What he said, it's not good for men to be alone.
Yes.
Right. Amen. Now I get it, I don't understand sometimes life circumstances and different things we go through, and sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we are single or whatnot. And when he looked at Adam, he said, I know I made you good, but it's not good that you're by yourself.
Right. Amen.
I feel to stop right there and tell somebody right now, I know what you've been going through. I feel the Holy Ghost speaking to somebody right now. You feel like that you are all by yourself. And you've been in this lonely state. But God is wanting you to know he has not left you alone.
No. All right.
Amen. You may not be able to see with your natural eye who's with you. But God is with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And his goal is not just to be with you, but his goal is to be in you. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. You are not struggling and going through your situation all by yourself. The Holy Ghost is available to you. And if you just turn to God, God will make himself real to you.
Yeah.
And known to you. Here he is making this woman. He presents her to Adam. Adam looks at this woman, says, whoa, man. Not sure if that's where the term woman came from. Whoa, man. The Bible says he places them in Eden. Now, something very peculiar happens in that garden after a while. The Bible says that the woman that was created by God was in the garden. Something began to have a conversation with her. Mm-hmm. Bible says it was a serpent. And the Bible describes this serpent as one of the most subtle animals that have been created. Sneaky. You can't really track him. You don't know what to expect him. And the serpent began to talk to Eve. Now, I can say all types of things about that, but one of the things I want to say, sister, is out of all the animals you could talk to in that garden, why in the world would you decide to sit down and talk to a snake? And as comical as that may seem, some of us have snakes in our lives. And as much as we know that we need to avoid some voices, we still sit down on the phone and talk to snakes. What am I talking about? I'm talking about people that are in your world, that are all their agenda is to contradict the voice of God in your life. You've got to avoid the people that are trying to pull you away from God and from what God said, because that's what's going to keep you. What God said, hallelujah, the word of God will keep you. And people that try to attack the voice of God in their life are not for you. I don't care what they do for you, hallelujah. They may try to buy your gifts. They try to make you go on trips with them. They try to make you feel like they're the best thing since sliced bread, hallelujah. But if they contradict the word of God in your life, they are snakes. And you don't need to listen to those voices. You can love them, but don't listen to them.
Right.
Amen. Eve is talking to a snake. And the snake begins to challenge what God said. First thing he says to her, what God said. Did God really say that? Did he really mean what he was talking about when he said that? Now, there's a reason why this snake decided to talk to Eve and not Adam. It wasn't because she was a woman.
Right.
It was because she wasn't there when God spoke the instructions. Biblically, we find that Eve came along after God spoke to Adam and told him what to do and what not to do in the garden. And so through the story, we understand that Eve knew something about the instructions and what to do and what not to do. But the Bible didn't say that she was there when God spoke it to Adam. It says that she was made for Adam after all of that happened. So at some point, Adam had to communicate what God said to Eve. And so because she didn't get it directly from God, she heard it through a man of God.
Right.
The enemy thought, I can probably trip her up easier than I can trip up someone who has a direct connection with the voice of God. And so what I'm preaching to you tonight is that the word of the Lord is right. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. The word of the Lord is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your pathway. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And every serpent of your soul will try to combat the words of the Lord in your life. And you cannot stand there and let the enemy begin to speak to you. About things that will pull you away from the word of God. Put your hands to the Lord right now. Tonight, there are people in this voice, as you're lifting your, in this tent, as you're lifting your hands, there are people in this tent under the sound of my voice, hallelujah, that have been challenged based on what you've been taught, based on what you've been hearing, based on what God's been communicating. There are people in your world that have been challenging, hallelujah, what you've learned and what you're being fed in your soul. But you need to begin to omit yourself from the voices, hallelujah, that are trying to contradict the voice of God in your life. They are snakes, and they are trying to get you to destroy yourself. They are trying to get you to do something that will expose you to hurt and to danger. Hallelujah. And this is exactly what the agenda of that serpent was. Because the Bible goes on to say that he began to convince her that the tree that God told Adam not to eat of was actually okay. And actually, God's trying to hide something from you. He's keeping something from you. He's holding you back from enjoying everything you want to. That sounds a little familiar, huh? Hallelujah. Don't you go to that church because they're going to try to tell you to do this and do that and you can't enjoy life. You can't live. No, no, no. Hallelujah. God's word begins to outline boundaries where we will not ruin our lives and our families and our world. Hallelujah. And our hearts and our mind. And if we allow the word to govern our lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can I tell you this right now? You need to value the preach and taught word of the Lord. Hallelujah. You need to value the man of God in your life. You need to value a pastor that'll preach it to you straight from the Bible. That'll preach it and teach it. Hallelujah. The truth of God's word. You need to value that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I value that. Hallelujah. But you can't leave it there. Here's what the Bible says.
Hallelujah.
The Bible begins to talk about of people in a town called Thessalonica. And the Apostle Paul began to rebuke those people in Thessalonica.
Right.
Because those people would just listen to the preacher, and that's all the word they got. Amen.
Right.
I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm not trying to stir up any trouble. But God has built a check and balance in his word for the church.
Yes, yes, he has.
And the Bible says that these in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they heard the word and went back and searched the scriptures for themselves whether those things were actually true. As a matter of fact, the reason why we've got a Protestant church today is because in the Catholic regime, they wouldn't allow the people to have Bibles. You gotta understand how far we've come in Christianity. There was a time where it was illegal for you to own a Bible because they didn't want you to get the word for yourself. They wanted to control. I'm so thankful that you're not in the church like that. Hallelujah. But at the same time, you've got to get this for yourself, because when you're in trouble, Brother Greeley can't come and jump on down to come help you. But if you got the word, when he preaches it, you go back and eat it and discover it and study it and get it for yourself. And when you do, there is no snakes that'll be able to spoil your garden, because you've got a personal relationship and connection with the voice of God. Come on, when you get in that Bible class, when you get in that Bible study, come on, yes, you're going through that word and you're being taught, but now it's time for you to take that on your own sweet time and begin to dive in to that word of God and get it in your own heart. Because here's the truth, Brother Dan, when we're taught, we're not always in an atmosphere where we can ask a question about something we don't understand.
That's true. Right, right. Yep.
Yeah. And we don't always feel motivated to go and say, call somebody up to help explain this. Because sometimes, just out of sheer not wanting to look dumb.
Yeah. Right, right.
Not wanting to feel like you just missed it or just understand, we'll just leave it there. And we'll say, well, I'll probably understand it better by and by. Amen. And we never get to by and by because we never pick up this book on our own.
Right.
Oh, I know I'm preaching gospel truth. The Lord does not just want you to have a relationship with his church. He wants you to have a relationship with the word of God.
There we go.
And that's why the serpent knew to go to Eve. Because her relationship with the words that God spoke was through somebody. That's why, young man, if you're going to live for God, it's not going to be because your parents live for God.
That's right.
If you're going to survive this world, it's not going to be because your grandpa's a pastor.
Right.
It's going to be because you picked up this book for yourself.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Can I tell you right now? Hallelujah. If you make it and you live for God, it's not because somebody else has tried to make you do it. It's because you made a decision for yourself that I am going to get in this word. I am going to live for God. I am going to see for myself what God says, and I'm going to do it. Don't live for God because of somebody else. Live for God because you want it.
You love him. Yes.
Hallelujah. Don't get in this word only through somebody else. Yes, you hear this preaching under the tent meeting, but anything you hear from this scripture, anything you hear from this preacher, you need to go back on your own time and look for it in the Bible. And if it's not in the Bible, don't you listen to this preacher. I'm talking about me, myself, and I. Don't you listen to this preacher if it's not coming from this book. Hallelujah. Because that's the source of what God. That is the source of what God said. And if we can slither and seduce us. And that's what he did to Eve. She got seduced because she didn't have a personal connection with the voice of God. They're screaming and crying and hollering for the voice of God. I'm not stepping on no toes. That's probably the loudest praise I've heard today. I'm not gonna let nobody driving by praise God better than me. Hallelujah. I'm not gonna come on somebody. Hallelujah. Than to use your faith and believe God. She had to have faith that if she took that fruit, that snake was right. And by faith, Eve did something wrong. She misplaced her faith in the wrong voice.
Right.
Watch out. Right.
And here she is, eating this fruit. But that's not the worst part of the story. Here's the worst part of the story. She wasn't by herself.
That's right.
You know, we hear that story all the time.
We think she was by herself.
And we give Eve so much grief. We try to say, oh yeah. When God created the woman, she ate that fruit and messed everything up. And everybody think that Eve was the problem. You know, Eve had a husband. And that husband was right there the whole time.
Yep. He knew better.
Look at this. He is standing there. The one who did have a personal connection to the voice of God. He stood by and said nothing while snakes was talking to his loved ones.
Wow.
Wow.
It is a detriment to families when somebody in that house has a personal connection with the voice of God and allow snakes to come up in there and start talking to your loved ones. Friends to start befriending your children and loved ones. That'll begin to deter them away from the things I'm preaching gospel truth tonight.
Yes.
Because some of you in this room right now, Let your kids talk to anyone they want to. I'm going to preach it right now. And your kids are drawing further away from God, and you don't know what to do about it. You just let them, and you figure it'll just work itself out. No, it will not work itself out. You need to say something.
Amen.
I know it's quiet, but I'm going to preach it anyway. Hallelujah. You need to lift your voice and begin to declare, as for me and this house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and this house, we're going to go to church. No, I'm not giving you a choice whether you're going to church or not. No, I'm not giving you a choice. No, no, no. If you're going to live in this house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Right.
All right. I know it's not as common. In this day and age, you need to let those kids choose for themselves. No, the kids, they have their own rights, you know, and you know that we don't want to force them to do anything. While you not telling them what's right and wrong, you are forcing them to choose for themselves when they're not mature enough to do so.
Right. That's negligence.
We have an obligation. To say something if we know what God said.
Right.
So now it begs the question, are we silent because we don't know the word?
Uh-oh.
We want to say something, but we don't know what to say because we don't know what he said. I'm preaching to a church that God wants to use to turn New London and Uncasville and Norwich, this whole part of Connecticut, maybe even the world, because I believe God can send missionaries from this local church all over the world. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you right now, it's going to start in your home, not in this building, in your house. Hallelujah. And when you begin to get it right in your house, then everything will get right in this house. And when everything gets right in this house, everything will get right in this town, in this city, in this county, in this region.
Amen.
Praise God.
Look at what happens now. God sees all of this happening. The Bible says she gave the fruit to Adam, and Adam ate the fruit. Now, I don't know if it's just a process of time or just how the word began to outlay it, but it seems to me while I'm reading the scripture that when Eve ate the fruit, she just ate the fruit. But when Adam ate the fruit, that's when things began to change.
Yeah.
And so here it is, God
is
watching them make some mistakes.
Yeah.
Everybody say foolish. It was foolish because he had it all. Not a worry in the world.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I know we got a mixed multitude of age groups, but even kids know this story. They had so much, they had so much, not a care in the world, they were running around like little babies with no clothes on.
Right.
They were just me. I don't think they were thinking like a little kid.
No.
I believe they had mature minds.
Right.
But they didn't have to worry about what to put on. Here now, the Bible says when they ate the fruit, immediately their eyes were open, and they realized that they were
naked.
They realized they didn't have no clothes on. I don't believe that the clothes disappeared when they ate their fruit.
Nope.
I believe they didn't have no clothes on.
Right.
But they didn't notice it until they disobeyed the voice of God.
Yes.
Listen to this. Just a second. Listen to this. When God made man, the Bible says that he crowned them or encircled them with glory and honor. Psalms chapter 8 tells us that he made men and women a little lower than the angels.
Yes.
And he crowned them. That word crown doesn't mean he's putting a crown on their head, something on their head. And this is some scripture where many Catholic influences get that halo idea. The Bible never talks about any saint or people or angels having halos. That's not biblical. So when the Bible says they were encircled, they were crowned, that means they were all surrounded.
Right, right.
By glory and honor. So it's not that they did not have clothes. It's that they didn't have the clothes we wear today. Their clothes was glory and honor. And when they disobeyed the voice of God, they lost the glory.
Yep.
That's how they were able to see themselves differently, because they didn't see themselves through the glory of God.
Right. Right.
And when you disobey the voice of God, it's not that God is just this big, mean old person coming to punish you. He is holding back the enemies of your soul by your adherence to his word. And when you break that bond, he cannot hold them back anymore. So they lost glory.
That's good.
They lost honor. And the Bible says they tried to replace it and cover themselves.
Right.
Turn to the person next to you and tell them, you cannot cover yourself spiritually.
You cannot cover yourself spiritually.
What they used wasn't enough. It couldn't cover them.
Right.
It couldn't cover the mistakes. So God had to do something.
Amen.
The Bible says that while they were hiding in the cool of the day, a voice began walking in the garden. The Bible says they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So guess what happens now? They begin to run from the thing that's coming to help them. And it's not because they don't like God. It's not because they don't love God. They are ashamed of the condition they're in, not realizing that God knew what they had been through. You think you're hiding from God because you haven't come to this altar yet and poured out your grievances, poured out your issues, poured out your mistakes on the altar. God already knows. And you've been trying to cover it up yourself with money, with lifestyles, with friends. You've been trying to cover up your true state, which is brokenness and sadness, with the wrong things. But God sent somebody this week to tell you what thus saith the Lord. You can offload every burden at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
The way God chose to begin to remedy their condition, the voice began walking towards them. Now, when I think of a scripture that says the voice of God walked in the garden, it's almost as if I try to envision what that would look like, a voice walking. And the only thing I can come up with is almost like words took on a bodily form.
Right, right.
Almost like words had to become flesh.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And begin to walk toward those that have been.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Those that have been battered and bruised, and those that have been left, hallelujah, to suffer. suffer the consequences of their own actions. God did not leave them by themselves, but he's sending a word, hallelujah, that if he's got to send it in bodily form, he'll do it. And hallelujah, he's wanting to redeem us and cover us. And the Bible says, after the voice comes, it provides a better covering, something that we cannot do for ourselves. He covered them with the skins of a sacrifice. Hallelujah. And that's the only way to cover sin. Something has to die. Hallelujah. And the evidence of that death is put upon us to redeem us from our past, redeem us from our mistakes. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. That's exactly what Jesus Christ is.
Hallelujah.
The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Bible skips down to verse 14 and says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You cannot cover yourself. You need the Word to come down your aisle. You need the Word to knock on your door. You need the Word to begin to cover that sin. And with the life of Jesus, he became that sacrifice to cover your sin. He was the Word of God incarnate, or the Word of God in human form. And the Bible says they beat him.
Yes.
He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities.
Yes, he was.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
That's right. Amen.
And by his stripes.
His stripes.
You know where healing comes from? It comes from when the Word begins to look for you. Hallelujah. And you allow the Word to come to you and to your heart. And you don't turn that Word away. You begin to receive that Word with all readiness of mind. And you say, God, whatever it is I've got to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn my life around. I don't know how, but I'm going to start with a decision. And when I make the decision, the Holy Ghost will come on the inside and empower me to do what I promised to God. And maybe, just maybe, that might be why some people are afraid to live for God.
Right.
They don't want to do it wrong. Mm-hmm. Don't want to make a mistake.
Right.
But what happens if I trip up and fall after I decide to give my life to Jesus? I don't want to have to mess up.
Right.
We're all messed up.
Right.
And without God, we all will mess up.
Right.
With the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Empowers us to live above reproach, above sin. I can't do it by myself. This man right here cannot live for God. Oh, I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. But with the Holy Ghost, I need somebody to go down memory lane and begin to think about where God brought you from. You can't do it by yourself. You didn't get here by yourself. It's only been by the grace of God and by his blood that we have gotten here. And a conscious call to those that need God.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
How does God save us? The Word becomes flesh.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
What does that mean? That's why Jesus exists. God Almighty was manifest in the flesh.
Yes, it was. Yes.
To provide a covering for our mistakes.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what this is all about. And you can choose tonight, one more time, an opportunity. You can choose tonight whether to put on that covering or to reject God because of our own. Listen here. It's, most times people don't walk away from God because of God. We reject God because of our own insecurities. Something we've got going on in ourselves. God will be God. But because we know we will be us, we turn away from God, not realizing if we're going to be better, He is the only way to be better. Because this is what happens, hear me. When He fills you with the Holy Ghost, that Holy Ghost begins to change who you are into who He is.
Amen.
Well, I don't know if I'm good enough to be a Christian, to live for God like that. I'm not like so-and-so. I don't dress like them. I don't look like them. Don't cover yourself. When the blood covers you, you'll look totally different.
That's right.
And it starts on the inside. And when you begin to allow the Holy Ghost to begin to fill you, something happens to your character. Something happens to your mind. And the mistakes you used to make, you're just wired differently now. You've had a change of mind and a change of heart. And you know what the Bible says about the mind and the heart? It says, as a man thinketh in his heart. In other words, how you think will affect how you feel, and how you feel will affect who you become. So that's why God starts in here. Stop worrying about trying to be good and start worrying about trying to get God. Because there is no one good. No, not one.
Amen.
Scripture says by ourselves we are altogether unprofitable. All of our righteousness. You know what, in other words, let's say self-righteousness is unclean.
That's right.
When you try to develop your own goodness and your own righteousness, you just soil yourself up. It's just as bad as doing the wrong thing, as trying to do the right thing your way.
Right.
Well, I can live for God, I don't have to do it that way. Got my own thing going. Well, does it back up what the Bible says about how to live for God? Because if you do it your own way, your own righteousness will be just as unclean as unrighteousness. But if you respond to what God says, the Bible says that word was sent to heal you and to save you from all, everybody say all, of your distresses. All of your iniquities. All of your transgressions. How does God do it? He sends His word. It's so profound how in the ministry of Jesus Christ, there was a man that I believe it was a fellow soldier or maybe a family member, but he was a ranking soldier in the Roman army. And they came to Jesus, and he told Jesus that he needed him to heal someone he loved. Jesus said, "I'll come." And then the Roman soldier felt so unworthy. He said, I am not worthy for you to come into my house. You understand why he said that? Because in those days, it was considered unclean for an Israelite person or a Jewish person to go to somebody that wasn't Israelite or Jewish's house. And he knew that. He said, "Don't do that. I know you're lost. I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. But if you speak the word only." Jesus looks at this man and said, "I have not found so great a faith, not even in all Israel, that this man, being a Roman, being a sinner, being someone who wasn't even raised in this, would understand the power of my voice. And I don't even have to be present in body, but if my word is there, I'm present in my word."
Amen.
You want to know why it's important to come to church? Because when you come, you're not just coming to a building, but you're coming to a place where the word is being spoken. And when that word is spoken, God is present through his word.
Amen.
And his word will heal you and deliver you if you let it. There have been several people this week that have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There are some people that may have come tonight and you may not have been here any other service. I don't know what your relationship with God looks like, but I encourage all of you the same to respond to the voice of God as you would want, as you think God would want you to respond to him. And if you do, you will open your heart to receive something from him that you have never received before. All hands lifted up today. If you are in this place,
hallelujah,
and you would like God to help you, to heal you, to fill you, I want you to leave your seat. Don't look at anybody else for permission. If you want God, you got to get him for yourself. And sometimes you feel that pressure of, well, is it all right for me to go? If somebody else goes, I'll go. When the snake comes to deceive you, he's not asking you about your friend. He's trying to mess you up and trying to isolate you, trying to destroy your own life. But you can get a hold of God for yourself. Come on. There are several teenagers and even children that are here. Hallelujah. And you don't have to understand every word that I'm speaking to know that you need God in your life. Hallelujah. And you can't get him in your life through somebody else. You gotta get him